the Nifty Podcast presented by Partyfish Media, a showcase of the best emerging filmmakers under the age of 25 from all over the world. Film starts here at Nifty 2022 in Seattle, Washington. Hi, everybody. My name is Robert Bohorkis. I am part of Nifty 2022's programming team, and I'm so excited to be here with a couple of filmmakers for one of our closing night films this year, Winter of 79. Do you all want to introduce yourselves to get us started?
Yeah, totally. So my name is Julia Elihu, and I'm the writer-director on Winter of 79.
And I'm Leslie Sussman. I'm the producer on Winter of 79.
Great. Thanks, y'all, for being here. It's nice to have a couple people, the producing side and directing side of the film.
Yeah.
And also, Julia, this is not your first Nifty Podcast go-around, so it's exciting to have you back.
Thank you.
And so to kind of kick things off, why don't you just tell us a little bit about the story of Winter 79, just like a little bit of a log line for people who might not, maybe haven't watched it yet. Just an idea of what the film
is. Yeah, totally. So just going into the log line, the story is about a Persian Jewish family living in Iran during the revolution, and really the mother's push and pull between, you know, needing to leave her home but not feeling ready to kind of give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And this story is very personal to both Leslie and I because we're both Iranian Jews, and the story is really an amalgamation of family stories, real things that happened to them during the revolution, their kind of various escape stories, put together in one film.
Yeah. I'm curious then, Leslie, your perspective, when did you become attached to the project? And like, I don't know, it seems like there probably wasn't a ton of convincing to get you on board, but I'm just curious.
Julia and I met freshman year at Chapman.
Okay.
And we were both in the film school, and we actually worked on our junior film together, and it was great. I love working with Julia. And then when I heard that she wanted to tell a story that was so close to both of us, I was like, of course. of course I want to be a part of that. So, yeah, that's how we met, was through school. And
cool.
Yeah, so this story is very personal to me and to Julia.
Yeah, and I know this is based on your uncle's life story, your experience, right?
Yeah, one of the biggest inspirations was my great uncle Habib Elganian.
Mm-hmm.
And actually a book just came out on Habib called Titan of Tehran, published by AP, so it's really exciting.
Wow.
Yeah, and actually my cousin wrote it. She's a super talented writer, and she's Habib's granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And basically Habib was a really well-known businessman in Iran. He was actually part of the Industrial Revolution, brought plastics to the country.
Amazing.
Brought hula hoops to the country. It's always like a fun fact I like to say.
You buried the lead on that one. Hula hoops first, then plastics.
I should have said hula hoops. But he was also a prominent Jewish leader. And when the revolution happened, he did not think anything was going to happen to him because he was so embedded in Iranian society.
Uh-huh.
He did not see himself as an other.
Right.
And unfortunately, he was the first Jew executed in the revolution. And that event is what catapulted a lot of Iranian Jews to then escape the country. Because they said, if something like that could happen to Habib, it could happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so growing up hearing that story as a kid, and like even now I'm getting like hot thinking about it, it really informed so much of like my passion as a storyteller.
Yeah.
So I just knew once I kind of made it to my senior year and had the most resources, that was going to be the time that I wanted to tell this specific story.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, you've had, you've done films based on kind of your family experience before. So, I mean, like, what do you, for you, like, what is the significance? Like, what's like, feels like very gratifying, very important about just learning more about your own family and just like using that to kind of broadcast, you know, these kind of historical messages, things to just know about for those that don't know. I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, it was kind of my main motivation when I started with film. I was like, film is so much work. It takes a lot out of you. And so I kind of went into it with the mindset of, if I'm going to do this and I'm going to like really take this on as a career, that I wanted to focus on things that I thought were important to me. And those things started with my family's stories. And since then has kind of like broadened into just trying to find stories about people that haven't been heard before, basically. Like,
right.
Yeah, those stories that we haven't heard, because I just feel like there's so many amazing stories out there, so many true stories out there. And so as long as I can do that and kind of champion those kind of under the radar, incredible stories,
Yeah. That's
what I want to do.
Well, and I think the interesting thing that you bring to it also is how big of a story you can tell in such, like, you know, between a mother, daughter, and the uncle characters. Like, it's a family story that do have these, like, the suggestion of, like, this is a larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
It's within this bigger picture, right. Also. It's just a small puzzle piece. And so, right. I mean, that's, I think it's just really effective in this film, for sure.
Thank you.
I'm curious, from a casting perspective, mm-hmm. you know, finding the right folks for these,
yeah.
for these roles, just how that process was, how long of a process it was, just
yeah.
where was the, how was casting this?
I mean, having all Iranian actors definitely made it more difficult. Hmm. Also, since, like, it was a student film and we were located in Orange County. So we came down to LA a lot to do casting here. We looked on like a few different websites and just through, like, word of mouth, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to even talk more about
that? Yeah, no, yeah. Basically what Leslie said, we just put a bunch of casting calls out. And right. then we had a friend, Gabe Braden, who... helped us cast the two lead actors, Nina Nayebi and Shari Nasimi,
mm-hmm.
who played the mom and the dad.
Yeah.
So it was really great having his help to get those kind of slightly bigger name actors into the film. And then, yeah, just me and Leslie, like, asking a bunch yeah. of people, like, do you know anyone
who'd be interested?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. From a directing perspective and kind of creating this, like, this energy, the kind of intimate relationships that is like a family, especially during a tense time that is presented in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was kind of your approach to, like, creating that you know, three-person family relationship,
mm-hmm.
and getting everybody on board and getting them in the right frame of mind and everything? I mean, how much of your like research and of the story, like, really had to come in and inform their performances?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that it came from a mixture of research and talking to family members,
mm-hmm.
and really just, like, trying to encapsulate their little stories, and then two little things of, like, adding my own personal family dynamic
mm-hmm.
into the film. And then finally, which I think is probably the most important, is the actors' individual experiences.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, their relationships that they have with their big Persian families,
mm-hmm.
and kind of finding those commonalities between all of them that we could kind of come together and make this family. Like, all of the actors could relate to the story in some shape or form, which helped us, obviously, because... you know, they could just be there and live in that moment. They knew exactly what this feeling was
mm-hmm.
like. So, yeah, and then also just letting them kind of play and be, like, not always having to tell them you're going to do this and
right.
you're going to say this. Just this is the scene, like, you're hanging out with your daughter. Do what you would do with your
right,
daughter.
Yeah.
yeah. So not always having to have it planned out, but letting them just be and play and do mm-hmm. their thing.
Did learning that, like... they all had, that there was this similar experience, this, like, cross-lived kind of thing. Did that come during the casting process, or was that after people were cast? Wow, great, everyone knows kind of how this is.
I really noticed it, especially when we had our small little screening with the cast crew and our Persian family.
Oh, wow.
And, like, people were getting so emotional because it really is a story that all of them went through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I loved about making this film was, it's my mom's side of the family who's
mm-hmm.
Persian. And this really gave me an opportunity to really hear their stories. Like, I hadn't really, like, had the chance to, like, sit down with my mom and my
right.
my grandparents and my uncles and really be like, what happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really hear all the details. So I think it was amazing. And people, like, stood up and told their story. Like, it really brought everyone together. And I noticed it a lot towards the end when we were showing it to everyone.
Wow, that far along. That's pretty wild. Especially...
And, yes, I think and during, too. But I really noticed it when we all were able to, like, gather.
And just emote together also.
Yeah.
just really feel it all set in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'm curious, just from jumping off of that, you know, the big kind of narrative tension is the having to leave our homeland mm-hmm. and, like, just move on from the place we're connected to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you think is, like, the thing that really speaks to that? Or were there moments that you were really trying to, like, have that really sink in for the audience in the film? Because it obviously right in the end when they're actually leaving, but... weaving our way to that, there's a lot of, you know, dramatic tension that gets us there. And so I'm just curious where you found that.
Yeah, I think that was the conflict that I felt a lot of Iranian Jews specifically had was this attachment to Iran, attachment to the culture, because it runs so deep. And a lot of the Persian Jews, even in the midst of the revolution and even after what happened to Habib, a lot of them didn't want to leave and really didn't think anything was going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that idea of separating from home was going to be so important in this film. And I think I tried to do that most with the poem that Azar reads in the beginning of the mm-hmm. film and then again at the end of the film, because poetry is so embedded in Persian culture. And even today, like, me and my family, we have, like, we have poetry nights with our, like, group of Persian friends, and we all read poetry and all that good stuff. And so I kind of wanted to show her connection to the culture through that poem.
Okay.
And then the repetition of the poem at the end is her new kind of newfound meaning of what this poem truly means. And, like, basically signifies the next leg of her journey.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the symbolism in that poem and the meaning behind it.
Wow. And that's so great that it can be just portraying or including, like, another piece of art into mm-hmm. it to, like, be the next... almost be like not a lifeline for the audience, but just like another thing to grasp onto is this significant other piece mm-hmm. that just fills out the story more. Taking it back to just the research phase of finding information, and you mentioned, like, talking with family members and just getting enough to put the story together.
Yeah.
Like, how long of a process was that of, you know, knowing that this is your great uncle to having a script? Like, how much research was there that all went into it?
Yeah, that's a great question. There was definitely a good chunk of research. Leslie knows this script took me, like, over a year to write. Yeah, just because the stories that I heard were so impactful, and they were so big, and, like, you would never in a million years be able to make up these stories because they were just so elaborate, crazy, gut-wrenching. So that was the hardest part, was, like, calling family members. Like, it was a process of, first I called my family friend Roya, because my mom told me, you need to talk to Roya. Mm-hmm. She has an incredible story. So I remember my first call was, I was sitting in Brock Coffee in Chapman, which is, like, the place we all went. And I called Roya up and I was like, so Roya, you know, I'm making this film. I've heard you have an amazing story. Would you be comfortable sharing it with me?
Mm-hmm.
And she really was so, like, kind to open up to me and tell me everything that happened to her and her family, which is very similar to what happened to my family. So it started there, hearing her story, and then going to my uncle and aunt's house and hearing their story. And mm-hmm. like, they even had, like, my uncle had the fake passport that he used to escape the country. He still had it. And, like, if I never went there and asked, I would have never known this,
right?
You know? And so it just kind of started there, sitting with people, writing their stories down, and then kind of creating this puzzle piece of figuring out how to put all these...
What thread fits where, and how can it all build to one thing.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. Was there, like, a... any kind of like epiphany moment for you during that, where, or for either of you in the development of it, like what, where the reality of that exodus kind of all set in? I mean, I feel like that fake passport could have been one.
Yeah.
Of just like all the weight of the like collective trauma. Yeah. Feeling it all of a sudden, or was it like a gradual, like, this really did just kind of happen to everybody? Wow.
It just makes you realize how strong everyone had to be.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just like what they went through and how they were forced to assimilate when they came here, you know. They tried. Yeah. Like, my mom was 8 when she moved here, and it makes me realize, like, she is the person that she is, and it has influenced me as mm-hmm. well, just what they all had to go through. There was no choice, you know, when you're that young and you're trying to fit in, you've just been forced to leave your home country.
Yeah.
You have no choice but to try to do the best you can. And her parents too, you know, they did all they could. I don't know. It makes you realize, like, I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah. just how strong they had to be.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I think too, like, feeling those moments when we finally got to share the film with family and friends, but then even beyond that, like, connecting with the Persian Jewish community, because there's a really large Persian Jewish community in LA, mm-hmm. and just making random friends, and then them asking, hey, can we see your film? I'm like, okay, yeah, here's the link. And then hearing back, like, oh my God, you have no idea. Like, this, you know, this is my story. This is what happened to my family. And mm-hmm. I feel like there's kind of like, it's a two-sided coin where, like, they kind of push that away and are like, no, these bad things didn't happen to us. We're great. We're amazing. Because they have been able to lift themselves up, really, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. since being in America. But then it's also like the other side of the coin is like realizing how resilient they are, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it helped them process maybe some of the traumas that they didn't really ever get to talk about.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. And like, I mean, the thing that always gets me with some of these, with this film and others that are also just kind of this specific, like, event-based, mm-hmm. Like, it could be a family story or something else, is just, like, how recent history mm-hmm. some of it is, where, but yeah. but it's like, you know, you forget that these kind of huge, huge cultural and just almost, like, it's almost politically motivated events, too. Like,
yeah.
There's so much going on.
Yeah.
That... it's very nice when the people are still around to be able yeah. to get these stories from them.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I'm curious, from like a logistics perspective, I'm curious how, like the location scouting of the every location, but something yeah. I was struck by was how the, you know, we've got California scrubland that I believed it was Iran, so I'm curious yeah. just logistically, like,
yeah.
how was getting everything, all the parts in place for the film?
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun, actually. Yeah. Julia and I had a great time looking for these locations, especially the one that you just mentioned, the mountain range at
where
the
we're
end.
Leaving the car, yeah.
Yeah. We had yeah. a really funny story of finding that mountain range.
We just kept driving north until yeah. we were like, we need to find a mountain range with snow because this takes place in the winter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And we were driving, and I swear it just came to us.
That's yeah. 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 Basically, me and Leslie, there was a period of time where we were like, okay, are you free from like... 1 to 4? I'm like, yeah, free from 1 to 4.
To drive north to just for 3 hours?
Yeah, let's
yeah.
just, let's like no Google Maps different mountain ranges and just drive towards them.
Yeah.
And there was one time where we like kept driving and driving and driving, and we ended up on the grounds of a juvenile detention center. We're like, why is there a barbed wire fence? Why are there police cars? I'm like, oh my God, we're in prison. And then, yeah, and then this mountain range, we like, someone gave us these random coordinates.
Yeah.
Wow. And we were just like, okay, we'll drive to the coordinates, and we're driving and driving, and it was all desert. We're like, where is this yeah. mountain range?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, both of us just turned left, and we see this like majestic mountain, like
wow.
gorgeous mountain, and we just drove and And we were like, this is our location.
Yeah. Wow. We knew like immediately.
Yeah.
This is the one.
Yeah, we got so excited. Yeah. And then we ate some tamales from the gas station.
What a day.
It was really fun.
Yeah, I've been behind the curtain too long. I was like, they just matte painted some nice mountains.
That's what a lot of people think. They're like, did you VFX those mountains? I'm like, no, they're real mountains.
Yeah,
they're
real. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What do you kind of hope that an audience really takes away from this, like, that might be like actionable in their own in their own life? Because I think that the research of this and information collection and like getting to distill all these stories and really get a grasp for what all these folks have gone through. Yeah. Like, what can an audience member, having watched this, like, with respect to that story,
sure.
but how can they, like, learn, what can they take away from it?
Yeah, I think for me with this film and most of the films that I try to make, it's just to remind people that the world is not black and white.
Right.
That, you know, human beings are multidimensional and you should never take something for face value.
Right.
You just need anything, politically, non-politically. You should never, ever, ever look at something from one side or one perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, in such a polarized world that we're living in, I think it's just so important to realize that at the end of the day, we're all human beings.
Right.
And you need to dig deeper. And not just kind of put a blanket on people.
Yeah. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up, and so I'm curious, what's next for y'all? What are y'all working on that you can tell us a little bit more about?
Yeah. So actually, I was lucky enough to get a grant from NIFTY for my next project. Yeah. So I'm directing this short film called In the Garden of Tulips, which is written by my good friend Ava Lalazarzadeh, who plays Layla in Winter of 79, and she'll also be acting in this short.
Great.
And it's basically her mom's story of her mom's last day in Iran in 1988 before she smuggled across the border to Pakistan. So
wow.
That one, it's similar subject matter to Winter of 79, but the approach is a little different, where it's going to be a little bit more of a slow-paced slice-of-life movie.
Okay. Leslie,
cool.
Anything else?
Yeah, I'm working in an animation studio right now as a production coordinator.
Right on.
Yeah, I'm at Blur Studios. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm loving it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, where can people go to follow y'all online and keep an eye out for updates and new things when they are coming out?
Yeah, totally. I post most of my stuff on my Instagram. I honestly use it as a portfolio. So it's just my first name _ last name. So... And that my last name is spelled Elihu, so Julia _Elihu. And then you can also just check out my website. I put all my work on there, and that's just juliaelihu.com.
Well, great. Well, thank you, too, for taking some time out of the festival to come sit in not a theater and talk about Winter 79 some more. Really excited for closing night. I'm excited for everyone to see it. And, yeah, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
And thank you for listening, everybody. For more information on NIFTY 2022 or other upcoming events, the Talented Youth, and more emerging filmmakers, check out NIFTY.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter at NFFTY or on Instagram and TikTok at NIFTY Film. And for more podcasts from Party Fish Media, search Party Fish Media wherever you listen to podcasts or check out our website at partyfish.media. Party Fish Media acknowledges that it operates and records on indigenous Duwamish and Puget Sound Coast Salish land that is still home to the Duwamish tribe. This land is stolen in violation of the Point Elliott Treaty of 1855. We are committed to uplifting the name of these lands and community members from these nations who reside alongside us. For more information on this land, its people, or ways you can help, visit duwamishtribe.org or realrentduwamish.org.